Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Taylor's Hill Community Centre. I would like you to remain upstanding for the prayer and the reconciliation statement. Almighty God, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing upon this council. Direct and prosper its deliberations to the advancement of thy glory and the welfare of the people whom we serve. Amen. Melton City Council acknowledges that the land it now occupies has a history that began with its Indigenous occupants, the Kulin Nation. Council pays its respects to the Kulin Nation people and their elders and descendants, past and present. Please be seated. Welcome, everybody. It's fantastic to be here in Taylor's Hill for our ordinary meeting of council, dated the 6th of March 2017. I'll call the council's apologies of leave of absence.
Nil, Madam Mayor.
Nil. Change to the order of business.
No changes to business.
Deputations.
And we don't have any deputations this evening.
Declaration of any pecuniary interest, other interest or conflict of interest of any councillor. Neil? Adoption and confirmation of the minutes of the previous meeting.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move a recommendation at the minutes of the ordinary meeting of council held on the 6th of February 2016 and the minutes of the special meeting of council held on the 20th of February 2017 be confirmed as a true and correct record.
Thank you, Councillor Maidlick. Is the motion seconded?
Madam Mayor, I'll second the motion, thanks.
The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Maidlick, seconded by Councillor Carley. Does anyone oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? Would anyone like to speak to it? Sorry, I've gone out of sequence. No? Record of Assembly of Councillors. Oh, it's carried, sorry. Record of Assembly of Councillors.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move that the record of Assembly of Councillors dated 6th of February, 13th of February, 20th of February and the 27th of February 2017 attached to this agenda be received and noted.
Thank you, Councillor Maidlick. The motion has been moved by Councillor Maidlick. Do we have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Hardy. The motion for us, councillors, has been moved by Councillor Maidlick, seconded by Councillor Hardy. All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Correspondence inwards, there was nil. Petitions and joint letters. Okay. Thank you, Councillor Mendes. Could everybody hear Councillor Mendes? There's 35 joint letters in regards to the off-lead dog park in Diggers Rest in support of that. Thank you. Resumption of debate or other business. Councillor Kesich.
Madam Mayor, I'm happy to leave the table.
To defer it?
To defer it, ma'am.
Okay. Councillor Kesich has asked for the matter to be deferred for another month. Do I have a seconder for that motion?
Happy to second that, Madam Mayor.
Does any councillor seek further clarification? All those in favour of the motion? The motion was moved by Councillor Kesich, seconded by Councillor Maidlick. Public question times. We'll now turn to our CEO. I believe we've had 17 requests for questions.
That is correct, Madam Mayor. The first question this evening is submitted by Manish of Brookfield. They present in the meeting. It is one of the requirements of the local law that for the question to be dealt with at the meeting, the submitter of the question must be in attendance. So that's the reason why we ask if the submitter is in attendance. Otherwise, the matter is responded to in writing and not addressed at the meeting.
Manish, are you in the audience? Jeff, that's not you. Is Manish here?
Second question is submitted by Gabriel Theoclitou. Is
Gabriel in the audience?
Delaney standing.
Gabriel, thank you.
Question reads, are there any plans in the near future to have the Taylors Hill drop-in program open more days with extended hours? And Mr. Heaney, the General Manager of Community Services, will provide a response.
Thank you for your question. That relates, I think, to the facility we're in tonight. There are plans, if the need is there, to activate more services in relation to the drop-in, and this relates to our youth programs. Currently, we have low numbers, but we are doing an advocacy program and having a lot of conversations with young people, and we do intend to escalate that program. Thank you.
Second question from Ms. Theoclitou is, are there any plans to change the name of this council? And I can respond to that by saying that there is not currently any proposal before the council in relation to its name. It, of course, is open to any member of the public to write submitting to council that they believe there should be some consideration, or for any councillor to have that matter listed for consideration. But at present, there is no proposal. The next question is from Cherie Ludlow. Ms. Ludlow in the gallery this evening?
Okay. Cherie's not here.
There will be a written response provided to the question. Next one is from Paul of Sydenham.
Sydenham.
Okay. The question reads, why is the Christmas market being blamed for the intersection of Melton Highway, Leakes Road? If there is an issue with traffic, why has the problem not been fixed when many trucks are using this road from existing quarries for many years? And Mr. Luke Shannon will respond.
Thank you, Paul, for your question. As I'm sure you're aware, the intersection of Leakes Road and the Melton Highway is a relatively busy intersection. It is currently under the responsibility of Vic Roads, given it's a declared arterial road. Certainly you'll be aware, at the last council meeting, council considered an application for a Christmas tree farm, if you like, north of that intersection on Leakes Road. I'm not aware of any specific issues being raised in terms of that in itself causing major problems at that intersection. There's currently quite a number of vehicles that already use that intersection, particularly coming from the quarry on the adjoining property in Leakes Road. However, council considered the application for the proposal that I've outlined and at that time determined that they would support it. I do note, however, that that will be subject to further consideration at tonight's meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon.
The next question is from Claudia, who gives their address as Faulkner. Is the submitter in the audience, or in the gallery, sorry? It's a very similar question to the previous one in relation to the market. The next question is from Jim Adamopoulos. Is Mr. Adamopoulos, right, is in the gallery. Question reads, at the bottom of the quarterly councillor expense reports, it references that interstate and overseas travel is outlined in the travel register published on a quarterly basis on the council website. Can council please clarify why the travel register is in fact not publicly available on the website? I have actually got an extract of the quarterly report from the website, and it reads at the bottom of that, the local government general regulations 2004 requires the council must make available for public inspection documents containing prescribed material, including the maintenance of a travel register containing details of overseas or interstate travel, with the exception of interstate travel by land for less than 3 days, undertaken in an official capacity by councillors or any member of council staff during the previous 12 months. That register is available for inspection. It is maintained by the council, but it is not actually located on the website itself. Because the... Okay, take your point. Yep. It's not. It's probably badly worded because the travel register is a series of single page details. It can be put on the website, but it's not a requirement. So I take your point. We'll review that. Next question is from Anne Fairweather, and Ms. Fairweather is in the gallery. It reads, how much would the redesign, construction, provision of audio and recording facilities cost for the changes required for the Burnside Children's and Community Meetings in the eastern area of the City of Melton, when we already have a purpose-built facility and ratepayers from Diggers Rest and Ainsbury travel to council meetings now with any complaints about the distance to travel? And Maurie Heaney will respond to that question.
Thank you, Anne, for your question. As you're quite aware, Council has only just recently resolved to investigate the opportunity of having a council meeting in what's known as the new community centre in Burnside. We're just out to design as we speak, so it's very early days. I can't give you a fair cost at this stage. It would be a guess. That facility will be taken into account in its current form, which will have an age-friendly feel, but also the main point from the council, it wants flexibility to have its council meetings down this end of the municipality. Thank you.
The next question from Alan Fairweather is, could you please tell me how many councils around Melbourne or Victoria move their ordinary council meetings around their municipalities, and if they do, who they are? I can't tell you how many because I don't know, and we haven't done a survey of the other 78 councils to find out what their practice is. I am aware that Moorabool alternate between Bacchus Marsh and Balan, as I understand it, and other venues as well during the year at various times. And there are a number of others, but I'm not sure who they are. So I can do some research and further advise you. Next question from Alan Fairweather is, does the council have a building exclusion zone around the City of Melton's airport? If not, why not? Or are they going to allow houses or factories to be built right next door to it so that people can complain about it being there like Essendon Airport and Moorabbin Airport? So Luke Shannon, General Manager Planning and Development, will respond.
Thank you, Alan, for your question. The Melton airstrip does have recognition at a strategic level under the Melton Planning Scheme, so the high-level strategy in the planning scheme does recognise its existence. There's no specific exclusion zone, if you like, that applies per se. However, I do note that the airstrip and the surrounding land is in what's called the Green Wedge Zone. So that actually, through itself, precludes the opportunity for residential development. So you'll never see the likes of Moorabbin or Essendon, the types of development that happen immediately adjacent to this runway. And in fact, the extent of development that can occur around the runway just because of the configuration of the lots, really, it doesn't allow for any more development beyond what's already there. So I think there is a natural protection in that regard to ensure the ongoing safeguard of the operation of the airfield. Thank you.
The next question is from Yvonne Barker. Is Ms. Barker in the gallery?
No, I don't think so.
No? Okay. Similar to previous questions in relation to having the meeting in this venue. The next one is from Sherl of Caroline Springs. Is that submitter in the gallery? Doesn't appear so. Next question is also from Jim Adamopoulos, who is in the gallery, who asks, in October 2014, it was announced that a new aquatic centre will be built in the Eastern Corridor in the Plumpton area. However, there have been no announcements since. Can Council please advise as to what progress has been made, as well as anticipated timeframes for being open to the public for use? And General Manager Maurie Heaney will respond.
Thanks, Jim, for your question. You're correct. Council has endorsed what is known as an aquatic strategy. That strategy has identified a new facility to be constructed in the east. There is an amount of money in the long-term 10-year capital works program for that, for design and a business case. We're currently doing the business case of what that model would look like, and Council will have a briefing of that in the next 2 to 3 weeks. I haven't seen that yet. At the same time, the site that is identified is yet to be a PSP, so there is a fair bit of work to do yet, so we're assuming that we're probably a few years away, at least 3 to 4, of having an aquatic facility, but there is a site now that is identified, providing that the precinct structure plan goes through at a point in time and is approved in its current form. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney.
Next question is from Mr. David O'Connor. Mr. O'Connor is in the gallery. He asks, in 2009, Melton City Council introduced an electric vehicle to its fleet, costing around $50,000, with an $11,000 grant coming from the Victorian Sustainability Fund. It was understood at the time that its performance would be monitored by a Ballarat University researcher. What outcomes were delivered from the vehicle study, and did the acquisition pave the way for greater investment in electric powered vehicles as part of Council's future vehicle fleet? Luke Shannon will respond.
Thank you, David, for your question. You're quite right in pointing out that a number of years ago Council was involved in a pilot program which I think from memory involved 5 or 6 councils who secured funding or part funding for a electric driven vehicle. Unfortunately, it didn't proceed as was expected. The company in question producing those vehicles actually went out of business shortly thereafter, and that presented significant issues in terms of ongoing servicing and maintenance of the vehicle. The vehicle in question was also quite limited in terms of its range, so it has a physical capacity to travel only about 100 kilometres without a recharge. So unfortunately, following the demise of the company producing those vehicles, the program didn't proceed beyond that. Thank you.
Next question, also from Mr. O'Connor, is an emergency ready community forum was held in September 2015 and supported by Melton City Council. The event emphasised the importance for communities to have in place emergency management plans. The recent grass fires at Diggers Rest and Buller created a level of confusion amongst some residents and demonstrated that despite the existence of the Melton Municipal Emergency Management Plan, a sufficient plan for the community of Diggers Rest does not exist. Would Council please provide details with respect to formulating a plan for the Township of Diggers Rest? And Mr. Peter Bean, General Manager Corporate Services, will respond.
Thank you for your question in regard to that, David. You make mention of the Municipal Emergency Management Plan in your question, but in actual fact it's the Municipal Fire Management Plan that's the key legislative document in regard to bushfires, etc., that you've highlighted. The plan itself deals with grass fires, bushfires and structure fires per se. The designated Fire Management Committee, as required by legislation, is charged with the assessment of the risks and determining actions and therefore the setting of plans throughout the municipality. If in fact it is determined by the CFA that one is required, then a specific management plan would be developed for high risk areas, and that's the criteria that they are deemed as high risk areas. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to go into the specific documentation in regard to the status of Diggers Rest, but I will have someone look into the details regarding it and provide you with a response in writing thereafter. Generally speaking, a specific plan is not required for grass fires, but we have specific messages that are put out to the public in regard to what they need to do in the course of one happening. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. I think this is lucky last.
This is the last question for this evening, Madam Mayor, and it's submitted by Peter Drew. Mr. Drew's in the gallery. The question reads, does the municipality have plans to improve the safety of pedestrians and road users in the proximity of schools in Bullmans Road? And secondly, are funds allocated in this year's budget for the purpose outlined in Part 1? Mr. Luke Shannon will respond.
Thank you, Peter, for your question. Firstly, in answer to whether Council has any specific funds for capital works this financial year, the answer to that is no. However, I can point to some recent works that Council has undertaken in that location to improve both traffic flow and pedestrian access, and they particularly relate to, firstly, the recent construction of a roundabout at the corner of Bullmans Road and Sovereign Boulevard, and also recent works that were undertaken adjacent to the road to improve the opportunity for bus drop-off and pick-up, which has improved the situation from the previous circumstances. There is also, as you'll be aware, a school crossing adjacent to the school, and that continues to be subsidised by Council with the support of Vic Roads. I appreciate that you're most likely from the Catholic Regional College going by your question, so if it's okay with you, I'll have one of our traffic engineers speak to you specifically about whether there are actual specific issues of concern that we might be able to address in conjunction with the school. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. That concludes public questions.
Thank you, Mr. Tory. We'll now move on to presentation of staff reports.
Move in block items 12.1, 12.2, 12.5 and 12.9 and that officers' recommendations be accepted as outlined per the relevant report.
Thank you, Councillor Madelick. We have a motion before us to move the following items 12.1, 12.2, 12.5 and 12.9 in block. Does the motion have a seconder?
I'll second.
Thank you. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Madelick, seconded by Councillor Turner. All those in favour of the motion? For the members of the gallery that haven't been to a council meeting previously, that means that those four items that have now been listed, their recommendations have been adopted as printed. So if you're waiting around for those, they're there. They have been successful. We will now move on to item 12.3, the Military Commemoration Investment Advisory Committee Terms of Reference Amendment and Appointment of Councillor Members. General Manager for Corporate Services, Mr. Peter Bean, to report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I present to Council this evening, as you've articulately set out, the appointment of the Terms of Reference and Councillor Representation for the Military Commemoration Investment Advisory Committee. Over recent years, Council has experienced an increasing number of applications for various forms of assistance or support for military commemoration purposes from a wide range of community groups, including RSL sub-branches. Consequently, appropriate governance measures are required to ensure considered Council investment. The Military Commemoration Investment Advisory Committee, making recommendations to Council for endorsement, is the structure in which Council will consider proposals. The committee is yet to have membership appointed and is consequently yet to be formed. Attached as Appendix 1 is the current terms of reference that have been drafted, which require slight amendment, which is specifically in relation to item 4.1.1, whereby it states that the committee will be comprised of the Mayor and two councillors, General Manager Corporate Services and General Manager Community Services, and the second part being the membership being by direct appointment, which is established in Appendix 2. There are no financial considerations, Madam Mayor. There are no risks and options determined thereafter. With that in mind, Madam Mayor, I present to Council the recommendation as set out on page 23. The Council adopt the amended terms of reference set out as Appendix 2 for the Military Commemoration Investment Advisory Committee. And part 2 is the Council appoint all councillors as representatives of the Military Commemoration Investment Advisory Committee. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Does any councillor require further clarification on this item? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
Yes, Madam Mayor. I'm very happy to actually move this motion. to adopt amended terms of reference for military commemoration, investment advisory committee, and appoint all councillors as representatives of the military commemoration investment advisory committee.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. The motion's been moved by Councillor Hardy. Is there a seconder for the motion?
Madam Mayor, I would like to be a seconder.
Thank you, Councillor Kisich.
Okay,
councillors, the motion before us has been moved by Councillor Hardy, seconded by Councillor Kisich. Would any councillor like to speak on the motion? All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. Okay. 12.4, councillor allowances. This will be presented by Ms. Christine Denyer.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Section 74.1 of the Local Government Act requires a council to review and determine the level of councillor allowance and mayoral allowance within a period of 6 months after a general election or by the next 30 June, whichever is the later. As a result of that review, council may determine to retain its current allowances or vary them to different amounts within the range and limit applicable to the relevant category. There are three categories that have been set out, and City of Melton is a Category 3 council, which is the highest category, and that is based on size, budget and population. The ranges for a Category 3 council are for councillors, $12,367 to $29,630, and for the mayor up to $94,641. These are determined in accordance with Section 73B2 of the Act by the Minister. Councillors are also entitled to be reimbursed for out-of-pocket expenses incurred in the performance of their duties in accordance with Council's local policy. At present, within Category 3, the councillor and mayoral allowances are set out at the maximum allowable limits, which I just mentioned. I'll say them again. The allowance for councillor, $29,630, and for the mayor, $94,641. Also, amounts in lieu of superannuation, which is currently at 9.5%, which are $2,815 and $8,990 respectively for the councillor and the mayor. Once the allowances are set, they will remain in place for the entire council term, that is until 2020 general elections. There is a requirement under the Act for the intention to be publicly advertised and for the public to have the chance to put submissions pursuant to Section 223. In terms of financial considerations, the current budget takes into account the current maximum allowance, which and also anticipates the two new councillors, which when council moved from 7 to 9 councillors last November. In terms of risk, council must make this decision, as I said, by 30 June of this year. So the recommendation is that council publicly advertise the proposed councillor and mayoral allowances for the council term to 2020 based on the current councillor allowances and mayoral allowance, that is at the maximum allowable rate, and schedule a meeting to hear any submissions from the public pursuant to Section 223 and receive a further report at a future council meeting on or before 30 June 2017. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Denyer. Okay, councillors, does any council seek further clarification on this item? Is there a mover and a seconder for the item?
Pleased to move, I support, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Turner, thank you. The recommendation is now a motion moved by Councillor Turner. Is there a seconder for the motion?
I'm happy to second that, Madam Mayor.
OK. Councillor Madelick. Okay, the motion before us, councillors, has been moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Madelick. Does any councillor wish to speak on the item? All those in favour? The motion's carried. Thank you. Item 12.5 has been done. We now move on to item 12.6, which is the response to notice of motion 440, potential sites for a dog off lead park in Diggers West. This report will be brought to us by General Manager Mr. Murray Heaney.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This goes back probably a few months ago, where there was a notice of motion, as you pointed out, raised by Councillor Mendez to investigate the opportunity of a dog off lead park in, specifically in Diggers Rest, and obviously to come back with some recommendations to Council on costings and other initiatives related to a site, which we're doing this evening. Just to give you a bit of history on the dog off lead sites or parks, there are two main ones in the municipality. One is Navan Park up in the Melton Township and Baronia Drive down in the eastern sector, just not far from where we are here. The council has previously endorsed and have been in place from around about 2011. There's also another one that's just been completed as part of a parks upgrade in Fraser Street, Melton South, which is about half the size of the other two parks, councillors, being about 2,000 square metres. The size of the dog off lead parks in Navan and Baronia are around about 4,000 square metres to give you a cost and an area. They basically relate to having obviously a secured fenced area for the dogs, some shelter, some seating, and there's normally a contingency amount for dog activities, and that's really dog play equipment. That's for the dogs, not the owners, Madam Mayor. Obviously landscaping depending on where we put this thing. And, of course, critical that we have water to a site. We have had a look at a few sites, councillors, in Diggers Rest specifically, which is noted on page 63. And there are three sites, which is the Recreation Reserve itself, Norm Raven Reserve and Punjil Drive Reserve. It's considered, councillors, that we are doing some master planning and revisiting the work at Diggers Rest Recreation Reserve. From the officer's point of view, we're saying that we should refer this provision of a dog off lead park to the review of that public open space at the same time and engage with the community, obviously, at the same time on council's intentions. And that's what the recommendation reads on page 62, Madam Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Does any councillor seek further clarification on this item? She did speak to it, but she got to her question. So, Mr. Heaney?
Madam Mayor, in the options section on page 64, there are a number of options for the council to decide or could decide, and one of them is to fund the initiative either as quoted in the report or a smaller amount in the 17-18 budget if council wishes. It is an option.
I'm going to leave the chair to ask a question. Can I sit in the chair to ask a question, or do I have to leave it?
You can ask a question.
From the chair?
Yes.
Okay. I'm allowed to ask a question from the chair. Okay, my question is, the figures on page 64 are quoted at a 4,000 square metre park, correct?
Yes, Madam Mayor, that's correct.
So if we were to do one half that size...
The one... Yes, Madam Mayor.
Say about 2,000.
To give you an indication, we talked about the one that we've just completed at Fraser Street in Melton South. That is 2,000 square metres, to give you an indication. And that is a holistic approach to a parks upgrade and construction of the dog off lead park. That was around about 38,000.
Now, if that was the size to go, if we allocated that amount or just slightly higher for Diggers Rest, if that seemed appropriate, would we then need to set aside landscaping, water? I mean, dog activities are fine, 15,000, but would you need to have contingency plans for landscaping and water?
I think at Diggers Rest you would need some contingency, depending on where it would go at Diggers Rest Recreation Reserve. Water generally at Diggers Rest Recreation Reserve is pretty well available, so I don't see a large cost to that. The issue that always comes up with these dog off-lead parks is shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And the report talks about that. When we endorsed the last two, the council also said to submit initiatives in future budgets for shelter for those dog off-lead parks. So,
okay, so my fundamental question was, if we were to fund or propose to put money set aside for a up to 2,000 square metre fence dog off-lead park, what for activities, shelter and whatever else is needed, what sort of figure would council be looking at?
I would suggest around the 50,000 would be a figure to have shelter.
And activities?
Inclusive of shelter and activities, Madam Mayor, yes?
So, thank you. Any other councillors seek further clarification? Councillor Maidley.
Madam Mayor, the recommendation actually states that the council refers the provision of a dog off-lead park to be reviewed in the Diggers Rest Recreation Reserve Master Plan. However, considering we haven't done consultation with Diggers Rest residents, is it wise to just predetermine or just make the assumption that that's where the dog off park is actually going to be located?
Is that a question to me?
I would say it's probably officers, Mr.
Hennie. I'm happy to answer it, Madam Mayor. Councillor Majorki, you could allocate an amount in the 17-18 budget if Councillor wishes to. We wouldn't proceed to do it until we engage heavily with the Diggers Rest community anyway.
Thank you. Any further clarification? Is there a mover for the recommendation? I was going to remove myself from the chair again, but Councillor Mendes, was your intention to move a second dot point to include 50,000 K in the 17-18 budget for a dog off lead park after the master planning and public consultation?
Once the master plan is actually done in consultation with the residents and Diggers Rest, so I think that'll be a great way to go, but only if the master plan and consultation is done first.
So we'll allocate up to a second dot point for $50,000 in the 17-18 budget after the master planning and extensive consultation have been done.
Making an alteration.
Oh yeah, there's a
notice of motion.
Okay. The recommendation before us, councillors, is dot point one as printed, dot point two, the 17-18 budget of 50,000 to be subject to a master plan and extensive consultation. Okay, the motion before us, councillors, is being moved by Councillor Mendes. Is there a seconder for the motion?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I'll second that on the provision that there is a master plan and the 50,000 is put in the 17-18 budget, as already described.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Okay. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Mendes, seconded by Councillor Hardy. Would any councillor like to speak to the motion? All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. $12.7 Federal Government Building Better Regions Fund, and it's to be presented by Mr. Maurie Heaney.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillors, this is to update you on a piece of work and a funding application specifically to the Federal Government. The funding application is for the Federal Government and what's known as the Building Better Regions Fund, as it's stated in the report. The application relates to the McPherson Park Recreational Reserve, so our regional recreational space in the municipality. The funding application concentrates on renewal of infrastructure, whether that be grounds or facilities and landscaping. The submission that the officers have placed in, so it's a noting report, is a submission up to $10 million to the federal government to commence a major upgrade to McPherson Park over a stage process. That submission was, the button was hit on that submission last Tuesday. There is around about $297 million over 4 years for this program, so this is the first round. Officers have taken about 6 weeks to put this funding submission in. It's 334 pages, the funding submission, so it's a monstrous piece of work. We've submitted the application for what's known as the next Big M evolution of McPherson Park. It's a big development and it's a big project, and hopefully we're successful in achieving federal government money. At McPherson Park there are 7 built or constructed community facilities in excess of 40 to 50 years old, most of them, so in need of renewal, and there's around 7 sports grounds as we speak. The submission talks about renewal but reducing the number of facilities, but have larger facilities integrated into the site, creating new hubs in the site over a time, and creating extra playing spaces in the site. So we're very envious. The submission is in, as I talked about. The good thing with this piece of work is it will allow us in good stead to submit for state government grants and any other federal government grants at the same time, as we always do, and we will. Again, it was submitted on the 28th of February at 4:40. It closed at 5, but it was a monstrous submission. We expect to hear as a council by the end of May 2017, and if successful, would escalate the program within about 16 weeks after that. We're doing a fair bit of design work with current allocations we have for McPherson Park at the moment, so hopefully we'll get some good news on the funding submission, councillors. It's a great project. It's a project that's been in need for many, many years, but if we don't get the federal government money, we'll continue to advocate for whatever grants there may be. Thank you, councillors. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr Heaney. Now, before everybody swamps us with wanting to move and second it, is there any clarification? No? Is there a mover?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I'm happy to move the
recommendation. See, I knew there'd be a race. And
may I commend the officers? Hopefully, with any luck, we might get some good funding in regards to this very important project for McPherson Park.
Thank you, Councillor. I'm going to have to give the oldies a bit of a off the block.
Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Who would like to second it?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to second this good news. Hopefully, it will be. And thank the officers for the work they've done. I know it's been a very short period of time they had to put the work together, but thank them very much for that.
Thank you, councillors. The motion's been moved by Councillor Madeley, seconded by Councillor Turner. Does would anyone like to speak to the motion? No? You've had your go. No, well, you don't get to speak then. Councillor Turner, protocol. Councillor Turner, you're not even standing.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Mayor. I can speak now then. Thanks. Now, I'd just like to say that this is a forgotten park in Melton. As Maurice said, it's many years since there's been any extensive work done there. And there's so many clubs throughout, not just in Melton Township, but throughout Melton that use the facilities, and it's badly, badly needed. That's all, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. And I apologise, Councillor Madeley. You were supposed to get asked if you wanted to speak first, being the mover of the second.
That's fine.
Thank you. Does any other councillor wish to address? Okay, councillors, the motion again before us has been moved by Councillor Madeley, seconded by Councillor Turner. All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Well done, councillors. 12.8. Planning application PA 2016-5411, development of three dwellings consisting of two single-storey dwellings and one double-storey dwelling at 13 Warden Court, Kurrajong. I take it it's Mr. Luke Shannon, our General Manager for Planning and Development, to report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. As you point out, this report presents to Council a planning permit application for three units on the corner of Walden Court and Christina Crescent in Kurrajong in the Melton Township. The property in question has an area of 672 square metres, and if I can refer Council to the aerial photograph on page 103, you can see that the property is a vacant lot directly opposite a park. Mm-hmm. And is generally surrounded by households, largely single households. As the report points out, Madam Mayor, this site has been the subject of a previous planning permit application in 2005, which also involved a proposal for three dwellings. In that case, it was two double-storey dwellings and a single-storey dwelling, and that application was refused by Council, and subsequently that decision was upheld by VCAT. A copy of the VCAT decision is attached to the report for councillors' information. It's somewhat relevant in that it actually sets out in a fair level of detail some suggested opportunities for improvement in design. Since that time, the applicant has reviewed the design and layout of the development to respond to the concerns that were raised through the VCAT process. Whilst there's still three single dwellings proposed, or three individual dwellings, each of which is separated, only one of those will be double storey, which is a reduction in height of the previous proposal. Madam Mayor, the application has been assessed against the state government standards, which is commonly known as RES code, but also against Council's own particular guidelines, which are titled House Rules, Housing Character Assessment and Design Guidelines, and have generally been found to be compliant with those. I should point out also that the application has been advertised and one objection has been received. The main issues of concern raised, which are summarised on page 91 of the report, relate to interference with the character of the area. The site is too small for three dwellings and concern regarding the increase in on-street parking. But as I've pointed out, Madam Mayor, the application has been assessed against the relevant guidelines and has found to be an appropriate form of development, and therefore it's recommended that Council support the development subject to the conditions attached in Appendix Number 7. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr Shannon, sorry. Can everybody hear okay? Yes? Is anyone warm? No, it's just me in the robes, okay? That's fine. This item 12.8, the recommendation contained within councillors. Does any councillor seek further clarification?
Yes, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Hardy.
Yeah, I noticed that in our planning permits that we don't have noise and also dust suppression in any of our permits areas. We are silent. I propose that we include that in this one because it's up against residential, current residential, and all permits pertaining that are up against residential or other commercial developments in future.
Madam Mayor, point of order, is there a question behind that, or is that more of a statement?
It was more of a statement, I agree, but Mr Shannon, sorry, I'm demoting you to councillor. Mr Shannon was poised to answer, so I'll let Mr Shannon answer if I could.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. If I could firstly refer councillors to the proposed permit conditions, specifically on page 113. There is proposed condition number 12, which I think may go some way towards addressing Councillor Hardy's concerns, which talks about ensuring that construction activities are managed so as not to adversely affect the amenity of the location, addressing issues like hours of operation, dust, vermin, waste, water runoff and those types of activities. I'm not sure whether that goes to the full extent that Councillor Hardy would desire. Madam Mayor, if I may suggest that it may be possible to perhaps amend that requirement such that it requires the provision of the developer to provide a construction management plan addressing those specific issues, so they then submit that for approval That's a publicly available document, so if a neighbour has an issue of concern about hours of operation or dust or whatever, there's a clearly agreed plan that is in place before the work start. So I think that the condition can be readily amended.
In item 12?
Yes, condition 12, which could be amended to say that a construction management plan must be submitted for council approval so as to ensure that the amenity of the area is not detrimentally affected through the and so on. Yep.
Okay, does that go a long way to ease your concerns?
A great plan. Given that residential properties are always conflicted by a site cut,
mm-hmm.
and that noise and dust does interfere with, let's say, normal household duty.
But what, Mr. Shannon?
I so agree with the
So agree. Thank
the
you,
amendment.
Councillor Hardy. Okay, with that amendment, under page 113, subsection 12, do we have... Oh, sorry, are there any other clarifications? Councillor Malik.
Does, through you, Madam Mayor, Mr. Luke Shannon, do we know what the cost around construction management plan would cost, and also the time frame? Because this is obviously something that we're adding on to our residents, and I just wanted to know what the cost and the time frame would be.
Through you, Madam Mayor, the cost and time frame is relatively small, because I would see that the builder would prepare the construction management plan. Council could in fact prepare a model plan, if you like, that they could use then as a template. So it's intended to be a simple document that articulates the requirements that apply to the operations on the site. And if the neighbour had concerns about hours of operation or levels of dust, they could seek a copy of that plan, and then everyone has confidence about what the parameters are that apply. I wouldn't expect it would add delays to the process. It might take, you know, a couple of hours to prepare a plan, a week for it to be approved. It could be done quite easily within the parameters of the approval process. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Does that satisfy your issue? Thank you, Councillor Madlick. Are there any further clarifications? With that amendment, is there a mover and a seconder for the recommendation?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I move the planning application PA 2016-5411 be tabled.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy.
As amended?
Thank you. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Hardy. Is there a seconder for the motion?
I'll be just taking a moment, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Turner. The motion before us, councillors, has been moved by Councillor Hardy, seconded by Councillor Turner. Does any councillor wish to speak to the item? All those in favour? Motion's carried. Thank you. 12.9 was done under procedural. We now move on to 12.10. Now watch the race. Gallery. Westwood Drive Road Bridge Design and Consultancy. It's to be brought to us by General Manager Mr. Luke Shannon.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This report relates to the significant issue of the Westwood Drive Bridge over the Corroy Creek and what is hopefully a fairly significant step towards enabling construction to commence. Mm-hmm. If I could just give a very, very brief background as to how we're at this point. Councillors will be aware that there's been a strong desire to construct that bridge for a number of years. Through a series of circumstances, the issue has been caught up in the requirement for VicRoads to prepare what's called an environmental effect statement for the entire Palmers Road corridor, and Westwood Drive is actually part of the Palmers Road corridor, so it will ultimately connect the Calder Freeway to the Princess Freeway. So it's a significant road in the western suburbs of Melbourne, or the western region of Melbourne. The fact that it's been caught up in the environmental effects statement has meant that there are a number of additional requirements that will be imposed upon council in the construction of its component of the overall Palmers Road corridor. And they're detailed, Madam Mayor, on page 144 of the report. And if I can just briefly touch on those, the over and above what we would normally expect to have to do for a bridge crossing of this nature, we need to undertake noise mitigation works in line with Dick Road's policy, undertake bridge architectural features which need to be approved by the Victorian Design Review Panel and ultimately the Minister, prepare an environmental management framework and have that framework endorsed by the Planning Minister. So accordingly, Madam Mayor, to fast track that element to get the final state government sign off for these works, we've prepared a tender specification for those consultancy works. They have been advertised, there were 5 submissions received, and ultimately, as the recommendation indicates, it's recommended that ACOM undertake those works, given their vast experience in dealing with these issues. One important issue they'll deal with through that process, Madam Mayor, is they'll prepare what's known as a road safety audit for the balance of Westwood Drive. So in other words, a report that will assess the impacts that the increased volumes of traffic will have on Westwood Drive, particularly down in the southern end towards the retirement village and the like, where we know there will be impacts, mm-hmm. and that will enable council to plan and undertake any improvements to the road in those specific locations. So, Madam Mayor, if the subsequent works go as expected, acknowledging that we do need final state government sign-off before physical works can commence, we would hope that construction works could start, subject to that approval, early in the next financial year, so around about the August period. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Does any council seek further clarification? Councillor Madeley.
Madam Mayor, this long-awaited piece of infrastructure for our residents, when does it look like if this was to go through and all the checks and balances we tick off as a council, when does it look like the construction would be actually finalised if all goes to plan?
Through you, Madam Mayor, if construction is able to start in August, as I've indicated, the project would take 12 to 16 months to complete because it involves a reasonably significant bridge and also road connections from the north and south. So there's quite a lot of civil work, but we would certainly hope that it will be completed prior to the end of 2018.
Any further clarification? I'd like to leave the chair and move this item. And before everybody boo-hoos me because they all want to do it, you will all get a chance to speak on it, I promise. Councillor Turner, you are now in the chair. Okay, I would like to move Westwood Drive Road and Bridge Design Consultancy and dot point 1 and 2 of the recommendation, as stated.
Long time since I've done this. Moved by Councillor Sophie Ramsey. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
Councillor Turner, temporary chair. I'm happy to second this notice of motion, and I know that my fellow councillors, particularly the ward councillors, this was high on our agenda in regards to our campaign material, and we will be happy to see it completed.
Thank you, Councillor Medlick. Moved by Councillor Ramsey, seconded by Councillor Medlick. Does any councillor wish to speak on Councillor Ramsey?
Councillor Medlick has basically said everything I've wanted to say, but in regard to the Westwood Bridge, it's been a missing link. It's cost council quite a bit of money, the toing and froing. We actually let the contract, which we then had to pay out the contract because of artefacts that were found on the site. The community of Caroline Springs and the Eastern Corridor have been gridlocked for a number of years in that regard, and we are so proud to be at this point now to be going down the path of getting a new contract and getting it underway, and hopefully within the next year and a half there won't be the same gridlock as has been in the past. So I commend the community, the councillors especially, because every meeting I've come to for the last 4 or 5 years has been a council question without notice in regards to when will Westwood Drive Bridge happen. And I'm very proud to say it's happening today, and what better way than for it to happen at the council meeting at Taylor's Hill. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Councillor Medlock, would you like to say a few words, seeing you seconded the motion?
I'm happy with what I said, Councillor Turner, and I just want to, reiterate this has been on the agenda since 2009. The then ward councillor and myself advocated for it heavily, and we have been since then. Unfortunately, things have come out of council's hands in regards to the construction of it with our requirements that were necessary. But I thank the residents for their patience, and I look forward to doing the opening. If it's not me, I'm sure it'll be the mayor of the day, but whoever does the opening, I just want it done and dusted so we can start using that road, and we can put it onto the state government's agenda so they can actually start duplicating that road as well.
Thank you, Councillor Medlock. Councillor Carley, would you like to say a few words on this issue? I'm sure.
Well, thank you, temporary chair, for allowing me to speak on this. I think my fellow councillors have said everything that I think I would have said. We have waited quite a long time. And again, thank you to the residents, because I know that they were very interested in the Westwood Drive extension. And I'd just like to say that I hope that there will be some update on our website to let residents know, because I think that that's really important that we keep our residents informed every step of the way, especially with a project like this. So I'd like to see some update on the website. Thank you.
Is there any other councillor wish to speak on this issue?
Just a big acknowledgement. I know throughout, I'm a first time councillor, I know throughout my campaign this was in the top three in the Cambridge ward. Really, this comes down to the advocacy and the community push behind it. So I want to thank those in the gallery today who are Cambridge ward, Watts ward, Eastern Corridor residents. Thank you for campaigning, because it's because of you and this great council and previous council that have really advocated and pushed for this. So congratulations and thank you.
Does any other councillor wish to speak? Moved by Councillor Ramsay, seconded by Councillor Medlock.
Do I get a vote
of five? Do you need one? You've spoken three times already. Councillor Ramsay, would you like to speak again?
Point of order, I didn't believe we were in debate.
No, but we've gone into discussion, so it's the same as debate, so the mover gets a right of reply.
Deputy Chair should rule on the point of order.
Are you going to move on the point of order?
Well, I'll be honest with you. If I was moving, I would say, Councillor Ramsay, please sit down.
Are you there?
Yes. Yes, I'll accept that.
Can I call a point of order on the chair then, because it's the meeting protocol?
You can call a point of order if you wish. I'd rather you sit down.
Thank you, Councillor. Can I call a point of order on the chair, because I don't think it's meeting protocol?
You can, but what I said is I'd rather you sit down. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Moved by Councillor Ramsay, seconded by Councillor Medlock. All those in favour of the motion? Carried. Madam Mayor, back in the chair.
I hope you learn your protocols before we get in the chair, Councillor Turner. Having said that, let me catch up. Okay, we have next on the agenda is the delegates' report. Reports from delegates. I think I'll commence with Councillor Hardy.
Is Mike right? Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. First and foremost, as a delegate for the Audit Committee, which sits in Canberra, we haven't met, and business arising from the previous committee meeting, including the fourth quarter Audit Capital Committee report, was tabled. The risks that were quantified in the committee have been allocated and resolved. The Caroline Springs grant, and I was there with Councillor Carley. Again, it was a pleasure to be there. We went through the process. That's all documented and it's segmented. We only have a process to allocate money. We don't have the process to actually go into who's the line-up or how to, quantify the applicants. So it's a difficult task, but spent wisely. There were numerous people who are, numerous clubs who have been recipients of this largesse from the club and also the Collingwood Football Club. And congratulations to all the applicants and to those, and continuation of support from Collingwood Football Club and the club in future. The other one is the Property Development Advisory Committee. We have met. We reviewed the current building permits applicants and added changes where this is practical to ensure public safety and or site conditions did not deteriorate the amenity of the surrounding community. And the other one is that I'll add in, I recently attended the NGAA, which is the growth areas in Canberra, and I'll report later on that.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Committees.
Committees. I'm glad you reminded me of that. Okay. Committees for this month. On the 15th of February, I attended the Caldack Committee meeting. On the 16th, I attended the Youth Advisory Committee. On the 16th, also, I attended the Heritage Advisory Committee. And on the 2nd of March, I attended the second Youth Advisory Committee. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Turner, are there any of those you'd like to highlight?
They're all as important as others, Madam Mayor.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Mendes. Thank you, Councillor Mendes. Councillor Kesich.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would like to say that on the 15th of February, I was involved in with my fellow Councillor Katie Madlick, traffic study group. It was a pilot program within the Caroline Springs where I learned how things could be done properly, matter of safety and traffic flow. On 23rd of February, I was in a meeting with fellow Councillor Turner for the TIP in Ravenhall. And also on the 1st of March, we had the CEO review. On the 2nd of March, we had also another meeting with a proposal for a development or redevelopment Caroline Springs 127 Boulevard. And that's all, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Kesich, in future, the meeting with the developer would come up in the next lot of meetings.
Always happy to learn. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Dee. Councillor DeSantis.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The committees that I have attended on was the Youth Advisory Committee, which I was with Councillor Abushley and Councillor Turner. The youth are working well together for their youth awards at the moment and the youth grants, which is fantastic. Also on the 16th of February, it was the Reconciliation Committee I attended. On the 20th of February, there was a Property Development Advisory Committee, the Caldack Committee with Councillor Turner, and the HRV Grants Committee with Councillor Carley too. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Madlick.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I attended some of these committees I attended because I missed out last month's chamber meeting. So the Western Base Board meeting and AGM, where Reg Eustace was voted in as chair again, and he's doing a marvellous job for the Western Base. And also I attended the Western Base Strategic Subcommittee meeting where the mission and vision was discussed and recommendations were made to the board for consideration. I also attended the Disability Advisory Committee and we had our meeting at the Bridge Road Children's Community Centre. We also visited the Regional Play Space, which is an amazing area for kids of all abilities, with the Flying Fox and the All Abilities Play Equipment. Great facility if any of the residents haven't been there to go and check it out. There's also some water play there for kids, so a great place for them to get all messy. And it's a great facility, a testament to all the community who put their feedback, including the children, in how they wanted to see that space being utilised. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Madeley. Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, on the 8th of February, I attended the Club Caroline Springs Grants Assessment Meeting. On the 13th of February, HRV Grants Assessment Panel Meeting. On the 16th of February, the Early Years Partnership Committee meeting, Madam Mayor, with yourself, there was nominations and the election of the Chair and Executive Member. I'm pleased to announce Natalie Barkai, Principal of Kororoi Primary School, was elected Chair again, and Melissa Sapupo, who is a Manager of Community Health and Health Promotions, was elected as the Executive Member. We had a guest speaker, Asan Daliri, who is Council's Intercultural Development Officer, who discussed with us interculturalism versus multiculturalism. We also spoke about the Kindergarten Readiness Month. So on the 21st of March, there will be an event at Caroline Springs Library at 6:30pm till 8pm, where parents get to ask questions about kinders and also learn about the application process. Madam Mayor, on the 1st of March, I also attended the Road to Zero Steering Committee. It was the first time on this committee, Madam Mayor, and I found it quite interesting, and it was a great representation on that committee. We spoke about the Safer City Day, and I'm sure many of you have seen those around, and that happened over the weekend, and what a great event that was. We had a bit of an update from Katerina from Community Road Safety. She's one of the council workers. She gave us a little bit of an update on residents that attend the Community Road Safety Forums, and I will go into that a little bit later, Madam Mayor. But, so what they actually thought of the forum and if it was a benefit to them and if they would recommend it. We also looked at the City of Melton Community Road Safety Forum survey, and we made some adjustments to that and included some things that hadn't been thought of. So with the Community Road Safety Forum, for those of you who don't know, it's just for all young adult drivers or the parent of young adult drivers to please come and listen. And it's to learn more about road rules and the effects of road trauma, including serious injury and fatal collisions. It will be held on Thursday, the 23rd of March at 6:45pm till 9:30pm. And it will be where? Melton Library. Madam Mayor, I can't stress enough how important these forums are for members of our community who have young children. If you do have young children that are getting their learners, please make them attend one of these forums. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Councillor Ibushi.
Madam Mayor, one formal committee, the Youth Advisory Council, which was my first time attending, which is very excited about, with the calibre of young people on that committee, I think our city has a great future.
Thank you. Now, I've taken my robes off because I was going through a think of change of life, so please forgive me. I attended the Western Base and Council Maidlick. After all that strategic hard work, the board changed some of the vision and mission statements, but you weren't there, so you didn't get a vote, sorry. The Western Region Mayors Forum met, and we discussed things such as gaming, ice, mental health, rate capping, and basic budgets. If any council seeks further clarification on any of those items, don't hesitate to contact me. I also attended the Road Safe Westgate meeting, where under Melton there was 14 impoundments, 2 disqualifications in the last month, 1 for improper use, 3 for unlicensed, 3 for drink driving, 0.1 or above, 3 for failing to surrender, 1 for speeding dangerously or driving dangerously, and the 1 of the use of a miniature motorcycle. There were 13 male drivers, 1 female, 1 probationary licence, 13 full licence holders, and the 13 out of the 14 reside within the Melton Shire or Melton PSA. Now, Councillor Carley has come on to the Roads to Zero and spoke passionately about the 120 hours. I urge any parent or anyone or any grandparent or any mentor who is assisting someone get their 120 hours to attend those forums. We have a magistrate from the magistrate's court who had experience in the coroner's court setting, who can tell graphically. We have members from the VORT, victims of road traffic trauma, coming in and telling their personal stories. And we also have police. We council does it as a joint exercise with local police, and they're the highway patrol that actually attend those vehicles and in most cases have to break the news to parents and loved ones. So again, that forum is essential for anyone doing the 120 hours worth of lessons. We Road to Zero, CEO review panel, Western Melbourne Tourism, Early Years Partnership and PDAC. Councillor Carley also spoke eloquently about the Early Years Partnership and who'd been elected. But if I can, I want to pay tribute to Vale Jody Knox, who was the chair of that committee for 4 years. It's with great sadness that we farewell Jody Knox. Many of you who know Jody for her role as the chair of the Early Years Partnership between 2011 and 2014. Among a variety of other things that Jody had been involved in, she was chair of this wonderful committee. Jody passed away the day before Christmas after a courageous battle with an illness over the past few years. Jody was the original organiser and Best Start facilitator here at Melton some years ago prior to joining the team at Early Childhood Management and later Gowrie Victoria. Jody played an instrumental role in the establishment of this partnership as we know it today, with her passion to improving outcomes for all children. Jody was an outstanding leader in the early childhood field and will be greatly missed for her amazing commitment to whatever she set her mind to. Her down-to-earth, warm personality and her no-nonsense way of just getting things done. We remember Jody today and send warm thoughts to her family and friends. Jody's dying wish was that she saw her youngest child graduate from grade 6, and she did that, but she didn't quite make Christmas Day. There is one other thing I'll bring that up in the next item on the agenda. So I will now go on to, thank you, councillors, councillor representation and acknowledgements. I'll start the other way, Councillor Ibushi.
Sure. Madam Mayor, on the 11th of February, I attended Somersault 2017, which was an amazing event. I was there with my family. It was great to see. It was a bit of a change to the last one. There was more on display, and for the most part, the local community enjoyed it. On the 18th, I attended a fundraiser, TLC for Kids, which is in support of seriously ill children. And on the 22nd of Feb, I attended an afternoon tea for the nominees, the recipients of the Citizens of the Year Award, which was fantastic, honouring those who had come through and been nominated for the City of Melton Awards for our community, which is fantastic. And just this last weekend, I attended the, and just forgive me for my pronunciations, the Sri Yagam Maha Yajna. It's the festival held by the Hindu Rockbank Temple. And I also, on the same day, attended the Safer City Day at the CS Square, which Councillor Carley spoke about, which was fantastic. I took my family, or my son, briefly. I think it's important that we get behind a lot of these programs that council puts on, specifically this Safer City display that was put on. I think it was really important to speak to some of those people who are so involved in our community and they go unnoticed. So if you get an opportunity to get out and come to a community event, please get behind them. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Ibushi. Councillor Collins.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, on the 10th of February, I attended the turning of the sod by the Minister, Jill Hennessy, for the new community health site in Barry's Road. The 11th of Feb, I also attended the Somersault Festival with my family. The 15th of Feb, I attended the 1,000 Books Before School Launch. That was a great program to see the littlies there and getting them to read before they go to school is excellent. And it was quite a lot of kids, may I say, that morning. The 18th, sorry, hang on. Oh, Madam Mayor, the 17th, so I've got them all in order. So from the 15th, we go to the 17th. Friday the 17th of Feb, Madam Mayor, can I just say how wonderful it was to actually press the pedestrian crossing lights just out here on Calder Park Drive, Madam Mayor. That was a day that I won't forget. I want to say a huge thank you, and I know that there are some members here from the Taylor's Hill Safety Committee who had, together with myself, really worked together and also with Natalie Hutchins, and it was just wonderful to be with them that morning and to press it and see the lights switched on. So I know that they're all pretty pleased. I can see the nodding of the head.
Councillor Carley, could we get the Taylor's Hill Safety Committee to stand up so we know who to thank?
If we could, thank you. So a huge thank you to them, Madam Mayor. And I won't call them to the front to embarrass them. I won't do that to them. But also, Madam Mayor, on the 18th of Feb, I attended the fundraising event for the TLC for Kids. That was a very emotional and touching evening. The 21st of Feb, Madam Mayor, I actually had my first morning tea with Councillor Lara Carley. It was something that I've introduced during these 4 years of my term on council, so that was great. I've got some residents here who also attended, and it was a way for me to sit there and have just a chat, a coffee and a sandwich, and hear not only about concerns but some ideas. So that was actually wonderful, and thank you all for coming, and I will be having another one which I'll inform residents about. And Madam Mayor, on the 5th of March I attended the walk with her, a 4 kilometre walk around Hannah Watts Park, to raise awareness for domestic violence. And again, that was a very emotional event to hear from Nolene. Is it Nolene? And that's all from me, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Councillor Madeley.
Madam Mayor, I do apologise. I did forget on one of my committees, the MAV, which is the Metropolitan Association Victoria. I just wanted to inform my councillors that the new president is now Mary Lelios from Whittlesea. And she was elected. It's the first time that MAV has ever had a president. I think it's the organisation's been going for more than...
A female president.
Female president. I think it's been going for more than 100 years. They've never had a female president. And as well as the... which is good, because she's from Whittlesea, so she knows the issues, and I have spoken to her, the issues around interface growth councils such as ours. And also, unfortunately, I was not successful in representing the Metropolitan Western Region, but I congratulate Councillor Josh Gilligan, who's from Wyndham, who was successful in being appointed in that position. And he too, like Mary, understands the issues around high growth councils because he's from Wyndham. So I've been congratulating them both and looking forward to working with them. Some of the events that the council has mentioned I also attended, but I wanted to speak about the functions that no one's mentioned. One of the ones that the opening I attended of SEVA Logistics, it's a super site in Truganina with both myself and Mr Bean who attended, and it's a transport distribution and logics hub. It's an $80 million, 1,660,000 square metre super site, equivalent to 8 MCG playing fields and employing 250 workers in the Melbourne's west and creating 40 new positions. It's the largest in the southern hemisphere, servicing high-profile customers including General Motors, Holden, Continental Tyres, NBN Co, Michelin, Caltex, Accent Group and Mazda. And can I just say, Madam Mayor, all the stakeholders that I spoke to on the day who were involved in the project had nothing but glowing reports about this council and the way that everything was done with ease and with minimum stress, and they were, which is fantastic because we want our major financial contributors or to actually have that capability of investing in our council or in our area. So I'd like to commend that, Mr. Shannon, and I'm not sure if that's part of Mr. Bean's area as well around the governance, but can you just pass it on to your staff that that there was glowing reports around that multi-million dollar project. Also, Madam Mayor, Lydia Lucilla, of our 2010 Olympic gold medalist and former Diggers Rest resident, won her third World Cup aerial gold medal in Moscow, which is amazing. Yes, absolutely. The 35-year-old mother of two will now go into the World Championships in Sierra Nevada in Spain, having won 3-5 World Cup rounds since returning from her 3 years out of the sport, which is amazing. And this will also qualify Lydia in the upcoming Winter Olympics in the 2018 South Korea Winter Olympics. So if anyone hasn't as yet watched the documentary film The Will to Fly, it is a story about Lydia Lucilla and how she became an Olympic champion. I highly recommend it. Some of the downfalls and pitfalls that she went through, the injuries and her sheer determination and will to just get up and continue is just amazing to watch. And I'm sure on behalf of myself and all the councillors, we wish Lydia all the very best. She's a great and wonderful example for our municipality, a great inspiration for young women and our children. And as a former Diggers Rest resident, we are so very proud of her achievements and and we applaud her grit and sheer determination. So, Madam Mayor, I look forward to great things coming from her, absolutely. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Madlick. Councillor DeSantis.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So on the 11th of February, I attended the Somersault Festival, which was fantastic. On the 10th of February, I've also attended the Turning of the Sod, which is with the Honorary Minister Jill Hennessy. On the 15th of Feb, I attended the 1,000 Books Before School launch. 18th of Feb was the Westwaters Hotel in Caroline Springs, which is a TLC fundraiser for sick kids, which was an emotional night, but we had a lovely time with the event. 1st of March was a Hope Street launch at the Woodgrove Shopping Centre. I don't know if everyone's aware, but Hope Street does a lot for youth homelessness in the Melton and other areas. You can purchase keychains, which are $2 each, and they actually hang it off a big, massive, big Hope sign if you've ever seen it at the Woodgrove Shopping Centre. Please purchase one just to help the cause. On the 3rd of March, I was actually involved in the I Belong launch with my fellow Councillor Turner and Councillor Ramsey, which was fantastic, and thank you to all the Melton City Council workers for putting that together. The 4th of March, I went to celebrate the Sri Yagam Maha Yajna, that's right, Sri Durga Temple in Rockbank. Sorry, I'm trying. 4th of March, Safer City Day at Caroline Springs Shopping Centre. The 5th of March was Keep Australia Beautiful Day at Hannah Watts Park. And 5th of March was the walk with her at Hannah Watts Park to raise awareness of family violence. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor DeSantis. Councillor Kesich.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. On the 3rd of March, I was present on a launch of a Belong project with Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Turner and yourself. Melton, what a melting pot. It was really beautiful to see all these different nationalities coming together and talking about their experience and love for our Melton. That's all from me. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Kusich. Councillor Mendes.
Okay, well, I won't go over all the ones that the other councillors have gone over, rather than touch base, but I was actually attended the Somersault Festival. And then yesterday I thought it was absolutely truly wonderful to see so many residents attend